hour is here.
Check it out.
And you're locked on to Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports radio station.
It's my station.
It's my station.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Time to make the donuts. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. I hope you're all well. Happy Tuesday. Let's get to it, folks. We got a busy show on tap. How you doing, my man?
Well, it's a beautiful Tuesday, so I'm doing fantastic. Gorgeous weather outside. The sun's out. We're finally starting to break through this winter a little bit. You know, I've heard there's a couple more storms that are...
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
...that are headed our way, but we're starting to break through winter a little bit. These last two winters have been pretty brutal, Scotty.
Yep. Snowpack's great. That's good. We'll take that.
Yeah. I'll take that over having to listen to everybody whine about, we don't have any water.
Oh, they'll still say that.
We're going to have to raise the prices.
They put a meter on my secondary water, so now I'm going to get charged. I'm not happy about that.
They metered it?
Yeah.
Did I tell you what happened with our water situation out in Saratoga Springs?
No.
Well, Eagle Mountain. So we were going through the summer, and my water bills were lower than usual. And I'm like, oh, well, this is a nice surprise.
Oh, boy.
Come September, $680 bill from the water company.
Wow.
That's our fault. We lost track of the meter. We should have been paying more attention. Did it not kind of ring interesting to you that you were?
I'm like, also, they're blaming you.
Yeah, I'm not going to call you and tell you I might owe you more money. Well, yeah, but did you not find it interesting that it was lower than the year before? It's like, well, I thought we had more water than last year.
Yeah.
And I was conserving. I was using less, and I'm glad that I was using less. Otherwise, because it was a rackup of like 6 months or something.
Oh, geez.
Water companies are driving me nuts, man.
Dude, like everything's...
Everything.
My electric bill's crazy. My gas bill's crazy. I'm tired of this,
and
man.
You know what I hate about it? You have no control.
No.
You can't find the water company and be like, hey, can we get this fixed? You can't find the gas company. Hey, can we get this fixed? Well, what do you want us to do? Just shut off your gas? Yeah, that's a great answer for the other 85,000 people that are in the Utah County area using your gas supply, you morons.
Yeah.
How about you keep it affordable?
Or, you know, and there's no competition, like... You only have one person to go through.
Exactly.
Like, there's no way to drive the prices down because there's no competition.
Oh, it's maddening. And prices just keep going up and up. Well, it's more for a taco now, so we might as well just raise our water bills. Oh, man. Now, we got so much water in this state now. We better start using it. And you know what? I don't mind if the Great Salt Lake could turn into a desert. Just make sure you keep my water bill low. I'm kidding.
Yeah, boy. You're going to get the tweets. The arsenic dust is going to kill us.
Our brine shrimp are dying in numbers.
Oh, boy. Now we're
like,
going to
I don't. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I know the importance of the Great Salt Lake. I just don't stomp around and get all excited about it.
I'm so miserable, man. I'm just... Every bill sucks.
Every bill. I feel terrible for Utahns, man.
I do, too. Like, the gas prices are... skyrocketing. Well, I'm sure we'll be at like $5 come Memorial Day.
Well, our national average is 352. We're now at 385 on a Utah average.
389. I can't find anything less than pretty much that.
So, and then here comes the, it's harder to ship into Utah. Oh, we don't have refineries
in Utah.
I got
a refinery in my backyard.
It's not Alaska. We're not in Alaska. What are you talking about?
It's not Alaska. You're not having to ship it. Oh, man.
It's not some little town off the grid.
Everybody makes fun of my view. I have a view of a refinery, and yet I'm still paying $389.
Oh, dude, that's true, actually.
Yeah.
You see the fire flames.
Oh, yeah.
At night, that is the refinery. And here comes, that's not exactly for your unleaded fuel.
Yeah, shut up.
We are getting killed. We're getting slaughtered with prices.
It's like death by paper cuts.
On everything.
Yeah.
I just bought a, I won't name the kind of brand bar, but I just bought a, like a little snack bar. It was $4.25 for a little stupid snack bar. Now, that's my fault. I bought it.
Yeah.
But I got it, and I was checking out with it, and then, you know, you feel stupid because you're like, well, can I put this back? You know, you feel stupid putting things
back.
Oh,
and then they're like, and then, hey, they're going to ask you a couple questions, and then it's like the tip line. And I'm like, I'm not tipping a gas station attendant for ringing a barcode.
Hey. Everybody out there, Scotty and I, we just commiserate with you. We empathize. Yeah. We are in this terrible mess of inflation and overcosts and gouging. And because the companies that don't need to actually charge more, they're just like, well, everything's more.
Everything's more, so let's hop in on this.
We could get more.
And then you see these earning reports where like, oh, this company just turned a profit of $18 billion. Yeah, because they just screwed everybody.
Yeah, they just busted everybody right in their chops. And let me tell you what's really bad about this. And this really sucks. So I own different rental units. And my HOAs have gone up like 20% in the last 2 years. For just the stupid HOAs, up 20%. My land costs have gone up. So what does that do to me? I've got to hand that over to the renter.
Yeah.
And then the renter's like, I'm squashed. I can't afford it if you do that. And then you're like, well, I can't afford to keep it if I don't.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, yeah, but I can't.
And you become the bad guy because you're like, oh, this slumlord over here keeps jacking up my. Well, look, I'm sure you have a percentage that you fall in line in. And when that percentage moves, then you have to move your percentage.
Then I have to move because I've got to have a margin for any type of catastrophe. Now, my rentals in Florida, the renters in Florida, they're about to get some really bad news because land costs in Florida?
Yeah.
Holy cow, man. Property taxes in Florida? I don't know. What, tripled since I bought these properties?
No kidding. Wow.
It's stupid. You know, everybody's like, Florida's great. And I do love some of their management. I love their governor out there. I love a lot of what they're doing in Florida, but it's getting a lot more expensive to live in Florida. And so I'm going to have to deliver some bad news. And people are already maxed out. They're spending more on gas, spending more on food, spending more on kids, spending more on everything. And then they're like, so now I've got my housing costs go up.
Hey, can you say that out loud one more time? My property in Florida.
Properties.
Oh, sorry. There you
look
go.
At
my
that.
Properties.
That was smooth. Now, let me correct you there, Lloyd. Properties.
I'd rather have cabins.
Say that one more time. My properties in Florida.
I'd rather have cabins in Utah.
Let's hear that.
Anyways, it's just I feel bad for people.
No, I feel bad for me.
Because we're all dealing with it.
Yeah.
And it's just miserable.
No, it's no bueno, folks, and it's totally like, you know, like we're with you. And
I think you guys used to be men of the people. I don't know if you are anymore.
Oh no,
we're absolutely
because we're in the ring.
We're right there with you.
Yeah, we're swinging. We've got our head down and we're swinging.
Yep, just trying to keep the head above water.
Come on, come get in this foxhole with the three of us.
That's what
me,
Lloyd,
and Scotty, we'll fight with you.
Hey, busy show, national championship in the books. By the way, shout out to Stephen Ashworth, who pretty much laid out the script perfectly.
He nailed it.
Said it would be a 6-7-point game at halftime. It was. And then said it would be a double-digit kind of a runaway in the second half.
Said Purdue would be closed out on the perimeter.
Yep.
Remember?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I guess we could kick this thing off. I know we've got some NHL talk, and this Arizona thing continues to heat up. Right at the back end of the show, the mayor released a statement. And, Scotty, maybe in what you may have missed or so, I want to get back to that statement, get some of your thoughts. I heard this radio guy on with Jake and Ben earlier, and he was great. He was really informative talking about that land that they're trying to get their hands on is – extremely valuable, and that property area is running out, and there's just no way. Like, there's just so many people that want to get their grubby fingers on that land, and this mayor's like, nah, we're not doing this for what you're trying to hide as a NHL arena. We're not doing that.
Yeah.
So a lot of things going on, man.
Let's get to it. Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone starting lineup right now.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go.
The lineup is set, and it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Camden Heidi, Mason Gillis come on the floor now for Purdue. Gillis, a 6'6 senior, Heidi, a 6'7 freshman. Edey at the top will hand to Braden Smith. Chased by Castle, runs it all the way in, lobs it to Zach Edey. And a two-hand flush has him skipping up the floor, shaking his head. 11-11 our score. He'll hand it over to Smith. Smith fakes the three, but UConn right out on top of him with Caravan. 8 to shoot. Smith sends Jones into the right corner. 5 to shoot. Edey will come out to try to set a screen. Smith launching a three, and he rolls it home in front of Dan Hurley and the UConn bench. The second attempt and the first made three brings Purdue within two and a timeout, UConn. Diarra around a clinging screen. Goes the other way to the left side. Throws it back out. Underhanded to Newton. Newton on the right-hand wing with 8 to shoot. Pivots around the screen from Castle. Ball pulled free. Gets it back. Jumps the pass to Caravan. 3 in the left corner. It's good! 54-40. UConn by 14 with 9:47 to go. 6.9 to go. In it comes to Ethan Morton. He's going to dribble this one out. And the second verse is the same as the first. UConn repeats as national champions. The third team to repeat in the last 50 years. 75-60 the final. The Huskies back-to-back national champions.
I give that about a 6.5 out of 10. The second verse, same as the first. Come on. You had 48 hours to come up with a line better than that. Come on. By the way, that's part of the Westwood One broadcast you heard right here on The Zone. Last night, starting lineup brought to you by Lee's Heating and Air, home of the award-winning line of America's Standard Furnaces and Air Conditioners. Call Lee's right now for their $59 furnace tune-up special. You can check them out online at leesheatac.com.
I think I've worked with about 12 or maybe 14 different play-by-play guys, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And I would say more than half actually write out the way they're going to finish it. They give themselves the two options.
Yep.
And they actually write it out.
Oh, yeah. No, I've seen. And you know what? I've actually done that. And then it just feels weird doing it.
Yeah.
And so I bag it.
Yeah, but when you've got big moments, like when Sam Merrill hits that shot, like you don't want to mess that up. Like,
yeah, but that was totally unscripted.
Was it really?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Are most of your like big?
No, I did it like my first year or two. Like if it was a big game, I would try to like
you'd have
formulate my mind.
Yeah.
Now I don't at
all. It's all just raw.
It's all raw.
Yeah, good for you, man.
Like the NCAA tournament one.
Yeah.
Raw.
What the hell just happened?
That was definitely raw.
Is that scripted?
I did not script what the hell just happened.
Oh my gosh, so many things in this game. First of all, it sucked and it wasn't exciting. I didn't enjoy it at all. But there are some things that you really got to behold and appreciate. So here's the numbers. These are sent from my buddy Tim Murray out in Vegas. So UConn on the last two NCAA tournaments, okay? Last two tournaments, 12-0. They've got 12 double-digit wins. So all 12-0, all 12 were double-digit wins.
Wow.
Now, here's the one that gets crazy, Scotty. 12 covers out of 12 games.
Man, they're now making people a lot of money.
Now, this is where it gets even crazier, Scotty. They covered those 12 games by an average of 12.6 points. And for people that don't really understand how the lines are set or what those numbers mean, essentially Vegas says, all right, UConn's going to win this game by 5 points.
Yeah.
They win it by an average of 12 points more than what Vegas says they're going to win it by through those 12 games in the last two tournaments. That is the most dominant run in men's college basketball history. That you've never seen numbers that separate teams like this.
Nope. I mean, last team to do it was Florida. What was it, 04, 05, or 03, 04, something like that. And you know,
The
back-to-back.
06, 07.
06, 07. Mm-hmm. I mean, which was a remarkable accomplishment. But the dominance in which what UConn has done has just been unprecedented. Even like the great UNLV teams never came close to doing anything like this.
Yeah. No. A couple of other things to think. Okay, so with that Florida team that did go back-to-back,
yeah,
they had all five of their starters return.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
UConn lost three guys to the NBA draft. They didn't just lose three guys. They lost three dudes to the NBA draft. They had to reload. To a great extent, they had to reload. And they came out and did what they did. I actually think, and I don't know, man, I there's not a lot of time that I'll actually dish praise onto a coach and say, man, I think the coach had X amount to deal with to do with the outcome of this. But when you listen to UConn's coach sit in the postgame and say, nah, we really didn't care about Edie. He could go and get every point he wanted. We didn't matter. It didn't matter. We just wanted to make sure that everybody else, Kaufman, Smith, Lawyer, Jones, everybody else on the perimeter was cramped up.
Yep.
I thought it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And so here's the numbers that you see this team finish with. Edie finishes with 37-10. Big numbers, Scotty.
Yeah.
Huge. Big numbers. But this is the one that blows my mind. So Purdue was known as a team. And look, you've covered like Purdue. Give me their three numbers.
Purdue was number two in the country coming in. And I don't know if it dropped off a little bit during the tournament. I don't think it did. But they were number two in the country in three-point shooting percentage at like 42%.
Yeah. Coming into that Utah State game.
Because
big numbers.
Because everybody was double, triple teaming Edie, and he'd kick it out, and guys were wide open.
They averaged nearly 11 makes a game.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. They went 1 of 7. They only got 7 attempts
and
off.
You know what's interesting, and I'm glad you bring this up because I had this in my notes as well. The one is crazy, but the number that jumps out to me is the 7.
That was it.
The 7 attempts.
They got 7 attempts off. That's crazy to me. And that tells you UConn, this actually reminded me of like some of my favorite boxers, and they can be some of the most boring, but, and I know people didn't really like Lennox Lewis in the boxing world. He could get really boring, no question about it. But you knew when Lennox stepped into a ring, he was not going to get outside of his game plan. There was nothing you could do. You couldn't drag him out of the game plan. Most boxers, even Holyfield, you could drag Holyfield out of his game. You could drag even Mike Tyson at times out of his game. And you could never get Lennox Lewis out of his game. You can't get UConn out of their game. You start trying to run, that's not their game. You start getting overwhelmed because you're like, oh my gosh, Edie's got 32. Now Edie's got 34. Now I've got two fouls in the first half on whoever, Klingon,
yeah.
And I've got now two fouls in the first half on Stewart or whoever's coming in and trying to defend on Edie, and oh my gosh, we're starting to panic. They don't panic, they don't leave their game plan, and they just continue to thump you with what they drew up to come in and thump you with.
The one thing, and their coach, I thought, Dan Hurley, I thought had a really good point. And he said this after the Final Four game, the semifinal game. And he essentially said, look, we are going to come at you relentlessly. And you might be able to hang with us for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, but eventually we're going to separate. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, Purdue's going toe-to-toe with them. And Edie has a phenomenal start to that game because Edie's just a man. But they're like, okay, that's fine. Edie's going to get his numbers, but eventually the pressure is going to be so much on him because we're taking away everything else that he's not going to be able to sustain it. He's not going to be able to continue on at that pace. It's essentially 1 versus 5 because we're taking away everybody else offensively. And sure enough, at the end of the first half and into the second half, Edie, who was off to a great start, and again, put up crazy numbers, but he goes on that streak of, 8 or 9 missed shots in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, if he starts missing, Purdue's done. And they were done. Then they get down by 14, 16 points, and then there's no chance of them coming back in that game because UConn just puts their foot on the gas, and then they can just put it on cruise control, and they're done. And that's exactly what happened because once you put all the pressure on one individual player. And Edie's remarkable, 2-time player of the year, and he's earned every accolade that's coming his way. Great player. But he's still a college player, and he's still limited. He's not Michael Jordan. You know, he can't single-handedly put a team on his shoulders and lead them to victory against a team like UConn. And eventually it snapped, and he couldn't do it, and UConn knew it. We all knew it. When that got to 8, 9, 10 points in the second half, I tweeted out, ball game. It's done. And because there's no way Purdue could get back into that game.
No, there's nothing they could do. Man, they closed out so well in the perimeter.
Yeah.
And they're so extremely athletic. But, again, it goes back to my coaching comment. I've never felt like a team that it was more coaching than it was players. Now, they've got great athletes and great players, but it just feels like the coaching was really intense, on point, expertly done. Everything was planned out. There was no false or unneeded movement.
Yeah.
And I get it. I'm sure everybody was bugged by his antics, because when I'm getting bugged by a coach's antics, pretty much everybody's getting bugged by, because I put up with a lot. His antics were ridiculous. And his little words back and forth with Edie and being halfway out on the court, and there are things that it was driving me nuts. But I put myself in a player's shoes. If I'm seeing my coach care to that level, like to the point where it's like, man, he's going to get a tech. Oh, my gosh, he's on the edge of insanity. But he's still giving me – he's still in the game. He's not out of the game mentally. He's in the game, and he's overly anxious to give me my role and to point it out, hit the timeouts, and call the plays. Then that energy can leak onto the team. I just feel like he's a hell of a coach.
Yeah, he is. Like, there's some coaches out there that, like, I will, I don't know, I probably shouldn't name names, but there's a coach that is in the Mountain West Conference, and he's been pretty open and honest about it. He's got a offensive coach, and he's got a defensive coach, and he gives them full autonomy to run the offense and defensive sets. And you know what? And he goes, you know what my job is? Work the officials. Call time out and work the officials.
Just kind of be in their ear the whole
time.
And
he does it, and it works well for him. Leon Rice.
Oh, okay.
But, and you know, I look at Hurley, and he does the same thing. And there's some coaches that just know how to get it done.
And then, by the way, just an individual shout out, I wanted to shout out the play of Tristan Newton.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what that guy is, just universal. He is a do-it-all, everything weapon. He grabs the critical rebounds. He dished out a couple of critical assists. When you really needed a point, he'd get you the point. Defensively, he's never out of position. That is one hell of a basketball player.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw a complete juggernaut on display, and I don't think UConn's going away anytime soon. Get ready. This might continue for a while.
Yep.
Well, look who's here in studio.
Speaking of a juggernaut.
Time to classy up the joint a little bit.
How you good-looking fellas doing today?
All right, stop it.
Doing okay?
We're doing all right, man. That's
amazing.
Well, I will say this. You know what was amazing is, you know, I'm sitting back on Saturday and Sunday, you know, watching the semi-annual thing, and all of a sudden – that handsome Nate Orchard shows up on my TV.
His commercials are good, aren't they?
Those are good commercials, man.
The kids were loving it too. It was a sure treat.
It's funny that you brought that up, because I was flipping through what's that magazine that comes to the house? That's
like the Home Mag. Values.
Home Mag.
Yeah.
So I'm flipping through that, and there's my guy, Nate Orchard. Big old smile. I was like, hey, come get our windows. It's a good picture of you.
But I appreciate it.
You're everywhere.
I appreciate it.
Photoshop's funny. Hell of a program, isn't it?
They make me look good. I tell you, they straighten my teeth out real nice.
Take 24 inches off.
But to go from football, right, from Utah, my time, I mean, even just Highland High School to Utah, and then my time in the NFL to now be, you know, very fortunate to be a part of Advanced Window Products, where we provide an amazing product for our community. And to see my picture up there with this logo, I mean, I take great pride in it. It's really neat, and the family loves it, and so do just people in the community. It's pretty cool.
801-850-9100. That's 850-9100. If you need windows, if you've got a cracked window or a damaged window, if it's a specific size, or it's an oval, or it's way up high, just understand that Advanced Windows can come out. They can get this thing taken care of. But, Nate, I want to talk a little bit about this because it was in big, bold letters in the ad in the magazine. Lifetime warranty. Explain to people what that means when they buy with Advanced Windows.
Yeah, you know, with what we do and provide in our windows, it's a game changer. When you provide a lifetime warranty, I mean, that gives homeowners peace of mind knowing that when they invest in a product for the lifetime of you know, that they're in their home and it's transferable as well, I mean, we're going to be there to take care of it, right? We have homeowners from, you know, 1990 reaching out because, you know, maybe the window's a little harder for them to operate. We're there to service them right away. Whereas, you know, competitors, they'll go anywhere from a 10 to 15, maybe 20-year warranty. Again, we're offering a lifetime warranty, and that's something that's tough to come by. And along with that, we're local. We're right here. We're not going anywhere anytime soon. Been here for 37 years, and your windows are made here in Utah for our climate.
801-850-9100. What's the magic number?
Yeah, that's right. So if you call today, you're going to get Jeremy on the other line. And today, when you call and get on the schedule and you purchase 10 or more windows, you'll get $3,000 off.
There we go.
$3,000.
That's right. $3,000 off, folks. Normally, it's $2,500. Today only, you're going to get $3,000 off when you swap out 10 windows or more. 801-850-9100. Nate's going to be hanging out with us all 3 hours today. So all kinds of great savings, all kinds of great insight, and how they can save you money on those windows. It's advancedwindows.com.
This is DJ and PK.
Time to welcome Steve Cleveland back to the show.
Follow my storyline a little bit here. So Mark Pope gets a Kentucky job, which leaves the BYU job open. Are we going to see the return of Steve Cleveland to Provo, Utah?
That's probably not happening, but just talking about Mark and that circumstances, I can't even imagine. I would be shocked if he left after all that he's done and where they're at, what's happening. Would that be a great opportunity for Mark? Yes, absolutely. You have resources that are unimaginable. He's also got an entire team back that has a chance to do something special again next year. If Jackson Robinson stays, they're going to be picked in the top 3 or 4 in the Big 12 next year, probably. From a selfish point of view, I hope he stays because I think they've got something really special going on at BYU, but that's his choice, and we'll hear more about it, I guess, if it happens.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Cheer. Cheer, cheer.
That's right, yeah!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hey, Ryan Taylor is going to join us from Real Golf Radio here in just a moment, but let's give away some tickets, shall we? It's a Jazz Ticket Tuesday. Call number 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-ZONE, and you'll win a pair of tickets. See the Jazz and the Houston Rockets at Delta Center coming up on April 11th. Might be the one time you might see the Jazz get a victory. Probably not, but if there's a game, this might be it. Tickets will be sent directly via SeatGeek, but again, call number 12, 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-ZONE.
This is your best chance to see a win.
Yeah.
And I'm actually hoping for it.
Like, oh, yeah.
Find a way to get a little positivity. Do not finish on a 16-game losing streak,
no,
please.
Not good. Not good. All right, with that, let's bring in Brian Taylor. Maybe.
I think we should.
Maybe.
I think we
all
should.
Right, well, I guess BT's there. No open, I guess. Oh, yeah. All right, let's go to BT.
The 2024 Masters Update, live from Augusta, Georgia, on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, is brought to you by Uinta Golf, simply the best golf stores in Utah since 1971.
All right, here he is, the man, the myth, the legend, the pride of Burley High School. Not that the bar set that high there. It is Brian Taylor. BT, how are you?
What's up, handsome?
You know, you didn't need to drop that last line in there, Scotty. Come on.
I can't even believe it.
I was feeling pretty good about the pride of Burley High. And then you had to say not to the bar.
I can't believe that they let the three of us on air together. Like, there should be some type of code to not let three Idahoans on air together. But
I actually think it's kind of – I think, you know, you put that little triangle from Deco to Burley to –
Weezer.
Outside Boise. Weezer.
Don't say
sorry,
Weiser.
Bud. Sorry, Ed. I would never say Weiser. It's like saying Boise. Or, I mean, give me a break.
Or like Delco.
No, you're fine because I always thought you were from Jerome.
Or Rupert.
You're a Rupert guy?
The personal shot.
Yeah. Hey,
side of the river.
I was just looking at this quote from Tiger Woods. He said, if things come together, I think I could get one more.
Yeah, how about that?
What are the odds?
They're low, right? I mean, there's a lot to come together. He's got a lot going on with that body. He's, last year he did make the cut, couldn't go on the weekend. I remember Bob and I were standing there with him. He came up to address the media just outside the scoring area, and he was beat up, man. He looked beat up. And the question I wanted to ask him, didn't get an opportunity this morning, is, you know, how different is your body this year from last year? And the other thing that didn't get brought up was his game. You know, a lot of people talked about his injury and his, you know, he talked about the fused ankle and all that kind of stuff, but really didn't bring up, like, how's your game? How do you feel competitively? Other than the fact that he said, you know, if it all comes together, well, tell me a player out here in the field that doesn't feel like if it all comes together, they can win this week. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in the sport that they're in at this level. So, look, Tiger's at a different level. I get it. Tiger's never going to sit up and admit openly. I just don't think it's in his DNA to sit up there and say, guys, I don't have a chance. I'm just here because I love golf, but I have no chance of winning, but thanks for coming to watch me. It's been a good run. He's never going to say that, right? And so I think he has to maintain that belief, and we've seen it before. I mean, you could say lightning doesn't strike twice, but, you know, 2019 was pretty special. It's the five-year anniversary of that, so we'll see what he does when he tees it up.
You caddied this course. You've walked it. For those that just watch it on TV, just how grueling can walking this course for 18 holes over, you know, every day for 4 days, what kind of toll does that take on a player?
Yeah, I think Tiger said it's about 6.5 miles. You know, it's built on a side hill. You know, the other one of the funny questions that Tiger got asked is, what are some of the lies or stances that you find on the golf course that, you know, cause, you know, pain for you? And he said, as soon as any lie outside the tee box, you know,
wow.
So it's just not level. And I remember the year I did caddy for Billy, we had some weather issues, and because of the delay, they sent us off a 2-tee start. So we went off 10, which they don't usually do that. Everybody goes off the first tee traditionally, but in the case of weather, sometimes to get the round in, they do split tees. And so we went off 10. So my 17th hole was 8. 8, after you hit your second shot, 8 is straight uphill. I mean, it is a hike straight uphill. And I remember thinking, you know, I don't know how Billy's walking up here. I got this bag on my back, and I'm gassed getting up this hill. And so it's real, right? I mean, at the time, I was probably in my mid-30s, right? And so it wasn't like I was completely out of shape.
How old was Billy at the time?
I think Billy's around 75, something like that.
That's incredible.
Maybe 74, 73, 74, yeah. And you know what was incredible about that? Let me just take a second. So we obviously went off the back. We had a bad back nine. I mean, I think we went triple-triple on 10 and 11. And we made par on 12. That was awesome. We bogeyed 13. We parred 14. We bogeyed 15. Got to 16 and hit 5 balls in the water, okay? And made a 14 on 16. Ooh. It would have been the highest number ever on that hole, but we didn't, of course, sign the scorecard. So it's officially a withdraw. So by the time we got to the 17th green, they have all those scoreboards up, leaderboards, and they didn't have anything next to Billy. It was a really classy move because obviously he was a million over par at the time. But we turned on the front nine. Billy shot 40 on the front nine. Guys, he shot 40.
Wow.
As a 70-year-old from the Masters tees in the tournament condition. I mean, you want to talk about it's freaking amazing. I put every one of our listeners right now, go shoot 40 on the front nine at the Masters in the first round of the tournament. There's no chance. So, look, it was a 106 at the end of the day. but it was, well, unofficially, but 40 on the second nine or the opening nine, front nine, was incredible. That was a cool experience. So, sorry, I didn't mean to sidebar into that, but that was cool.
No, you're good.
Well, and I think it's a fascinating story because, I mean, that's a bucket list thing that you'll go to your grave remembering being a caddy for, you know, Billy Casper in a Masters round. I mean, that's ridiculous.
On
I mean,
Augusta.
Do you, at Augusta, I mean, would you go, hey, Billy, I think you need to use your 7-iron, and he'd look at you like, shut up. I think I know what I'm doing. What do you, when you're caddying for one of the greatest golfers in the history of the game, do you even say anything, or you're like, yes, sir, here it is, sir, yes, whatever you need, sir, I'm here for you.
You know what? So there's two things going on there. One, Billy's played this golf course, hundreds and hundreds of times, right? I'd never played it before. Second, if I drew on all of my caddy experience to that point, I would have nothing. So I didn't know how to caddy. B, I didn't know the golf course. So yeah, I was pretty much worthless out there. I did say when we got to 12, so we just went triple-triple. And remember, the reason he went to play was he was one of the players, the senior, the past champions, the older guys, that had gotten a letter from the Masters tournament a few years earlier asking them not to play. Now, remember, they have a lifetime exemption. That's a big deal. That's part of the framework here. And one of the presidents had decided, you know what, we don't want these guys out here playing when they're over 60. So we asked them to not play. And it didn't go over well. In fact, they rescinded it. But he got that letter. And at the time, he had had to have some surgery. I think he had some hip surgery or something like that. And so he wasn't able to play anyway and hadn't played for a while. And so when he finally had lost some weight, got healthy, got the hip replacement. And when he came back, they had rescinded it. And some of his grandkids came up to him and said, you know, hey, Papa, we've never seen you play the Masters. Will you play the Masters so we can watch you? And that's why he was doing it. Now, 100%, one of the grandkids should have been on that bag and experiencing. I don't know how I got there. I'll never know. But I was really appreciative of the opportunity. It was super special. And he was out there kind of doing it and went out on his terms. And he didn't sign the card, so he doesn't have any of the records for all the bad holes or the bad rounds or that kind of thing. But he got a ton of attention that day. And I remember when we put the clubs in the trunk, I asked him if he was okay, and he said, you know what, in all of my 51 wins on tour, I never got that much media attention. It was a great day. Wow. And he just smiled at me, and that was it. And that's how Billy Casper ended his run at the Masters, his playing career. It was pretty cool stuff.
Well, BT, you had mentioned that there was some weather that day, and it's looking like Thursday it's going to be thunderstorms and some pretty ugly weather. How bad can weather get on that course, and how much does that influence scores on an opening day?
Yeah, it's going to have an impact, unfortunately. And I was looking, it's cool that because of the history of this place, they've got stats on everything, including weather. And about half the Masters have been impacted by weather in one round or another, and including the last five. And so it's not unusual, but I talked to several players who said this golf course right now is as firm as they have seen it in years. They said it is money. And they all followed it up with, it's a shame that it's going to rain on Thursday. Here's hoping it just skirts us a little bit and doesn't actually pour and soak us. Because, look, Augusta has done a phenomenal job. Of any golf course in the world, this thing is set up to handle anything that might come at it, right? We had trees that blew down last year, right? Was that last year? I think we lost a couple trees, and they cleaned it up. You didn't even know they were gone the next day. So they're able to do those kind of things. They have the sub-air systems to suck moisture out of the greens to keep them from getting oversaturated and so on and so forth. However, at the end of the day, it's an outdoor sport. Mother Nature plays a factor, and it will impact. And one of the things Tony said, we just talked to Tony. He just played nine holes this morning, and we caught up with him under the tree as he was finishing nine, headed over to the practice range. And he said, you know, the thing I like about the firmness of the course is when my ball hits, it's going forward. He said it's not coming back. So these guys, when the greens are that firm, they can put as much spin on it as they want just to try to hold the greens without the fear of sucking it back off the greens and into ponds or other places that might get them in trouble. And so when the greens soften up, that's where you have to now puts another element of how much spin and control of spin do I need to be able to hold this shot but not suck it back into trouble. So, yeah, I thought that was a pretty good comment by Tony. I'd rather see the ball bouncing forward than coming back at me.
Any adjustments to the course, any, you know, different, not, you know, design or anything like that, but just, you know, any adjustments that they've done this year as opposed to the years past?
Yeah, they always tweak it a little bit, yeah. Right, Scotty? That's really a good question. But, yeah, number two, the par five, they've actually moved it back about 20 yards, and they shifted it over to the left. And so what that means is it was already a dogleg left, and now it sits even further left, which, you know, interesting with today's drivers, most of the guys hit a little cut out there off the tee. Well, if you really want to sling it around that corner and try to get it to run down the hill at all, you're 20 yards further back, and you have to aim out further right, which takes you directly at that that fairway bunker. And so I asked Tony, are you still hitting driver? And he said, yeah, I'm still hitting driver for me. He's like, if there's a little wind, I can go right at it. If there's not, then I just have to still keep it left, but I can still hit driver down there. So it's about 315 to get into that bunker from the plate, Tiger said, depending on where the tee happens to be. But so that's a big – that's kind of a change that they made. We'll see how that affects the scoring average on that hole, which is typically like 17th, you know, second easiest hole out there behind 13. The other thing they did is the par 3 sixth hole, the back left side, there's a big hump on the right side. And then, you know, if you ever wanted to try to get it close to that back left side, you kind of had to play it up that slope. And then as it came off, it fed down and went about 30, 40 feet. Now they've actually added a little bit extra room back there that's a flat area where you can actually hold a golf ball. So it enables them to put some different pins back there, and guys are able to hold it with a good shot. So those are kind of two of the main things. I heard they tweaked four, the par three a little bit maybe as well. But for the most part, those are the kind of the little tweaks that they've made.
Hey, BT, as we head into this Masters, it's just the interest that's generated through golf right now. You know, we don't have a clear-cut front runner like we did with Tiger Woods for so many years. But I'm just trying to gauge the interest because I kind of feel like the LIV Tour and the merger and all the noise, I kind of feel like it's detracting a little bit from the allure of golf. Have you felt that way, or is it the opposite? Has it brought eyeballs that maybe you wouldn't have?
No, I mean, it did exactly what you said, Hans, and exactly what I said, you know, 2 years ago when this – 3 years ago when this conversation began, and that is that sports is a niche. Golf is a tiny little, pie within that, you know, sports pie. And so you take a little pie that it already is and you slice it up a little bit and carve it out, and you're whittling away at your audience, right? I mean, golfers and golf fans are diehard, but one of the things that never works in sports are millionaires fighting with billionaires over billions of dollars. It just doesn't really turn the sports fan on. And so I think it's had some challenges, and the ratings have suggested as much. So, you know, I think it will be really interesting to see what the ratings are in comparison to Masters Pass. I would 100% bet that this is the highest rated golf tournament of the year so far, and it won't even be close. But how does it compare to itself in years past from before the split and all of the, you know, kind of bickering began? So I will say this. I mean, there's 13 LIV guys here this week. It's not as big of a story as it was last year. It was like, ooh, these guys are back. They're seeing each other for the first time, all that kind of thing. So it doesn't seem to be as pronounced. It's still there. There's still a few questions that get asked in that regard, but it doesn't seem to be quite as pronounced as it was a year ago. How will that affect viewership? I don't know. I can tell you on the ground, it's absolutely packed here. It feels to me like the Masters is as popular or more popular than in any of the 25-plus years that I've been coming here. It is unreal, the amount of people, the traffic, the merchandise that's being bought, everything is just – things feel like at a fever pitch. It's unreal, the amount of excitement out here on the ground. So how does that translate to the TV and the media and all that kind of stuff? We'll see. But, again, I would say this, even if you can't get a ticket to get out here, what they've done with their featured coverage on Masters.com, on their Masters app, all that kind of thing is unreal. You can literally watch every player hit every shot in every round. That's unprecedented, and it's super cool what they do.
Yeah, there's no doubt. BT, we're going to chat with you throughout the week. A lot more questions to go over. And then, of course, when things kick off on Thursday, we'll have all the complete coverage. You guys will break it down on Saturday morning as well. But enjoy it, man. This never gets old, does it?
Yeah, no, it's fun. We've been coming for a long time, and I still get the thrill, still get the goosebumps, still have a good time out here. It's super cool. Yeah. And by the way, just a quick note, pairings came out today. Tony's playing with Phil, so that'll be kind of fun
to
watch
go.
Those guys.
Very cool.
Very good. Go out. We'll see how that goes. So.
Awesome.
Hey,
Hi, boys. Appreciate you. Hit
a triple-decker pimento cheese sandwich for me. Ooh, like I want triple-decker. Stack it up. Because when you brought me the taste of the Masters, that was my favorite thing in the whole thing.
Was it really?
Yes.
I'm not a pimento cheese guy. I'll dip a cracker in it, but I'm not a sandwich guy. So you know what I heard? One of the, I think it was the Good guys, they said that their go-to is you take one of the barbecue sandwiches. You remember we brought some of the too, right?
Yeah.
And then they stack it with a pimento cheese. So you pimento cheese on your barbecue sandwich. And I was thinking, man, Hans has got to love that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm down for that.
Enjoy a couple for me out there, BT.
And then
you got it. We'll do, buddy.
And then grill it. Put it,
butter it,
smoke
and grill it,
butter it, and then fry it.
It's like a yep.
Batter it
up and then deep fry it. Now,
make it in a Monte Cristo.
Now we're talking our language. That's Brian Taylor.
Jam on it. Eat it with ice cream.
Powdered sugar.
This is getting better and better.
See, you know, we just need to. Hans and I, let us take over the menu. We'll get it going. That's Brian.
There's the champions dinner, and then there's the Hans and Scott.
Yes,
right there.
Exactly.
So.
Thanks, BT.
Awesome. Thanks, brother.
See you, boys.
Brian Taylor, Real Golf Radio, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right, before we go to break, guess what? Caller number 12 right now. We've already given away jazz tickets, but guess what? Another chance for you to win.
Wow.
Caller number 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. You will be assigned a golfer in the UNA Golf Major Giveaway, all brought to you by UNA Golf. Lloyd will randomly assign you a golfer. If your player ends up winning the Masters, you will win that player's brand of driver. So it's real simple. We go 1 through 26 in the World Golf Rankings, and then we'll qualify another one who gets the rest of the field. And so, again.
And you get a free driver.
You'll get a free driver if your player wins. So it gives you something to look forward to as you watch the Masters. You get assigned a golfer. 801-575-ZONE, call number 12 right now. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
I wish the season was more enjoyable for Jazz fans. All I see on Twitter is how miserable this is. Worst stretch for the Jazz in basically 50 years. It's as bad a basketball as I've ever seen in my life watching the Jazz. It's a low, and again, it's with a purpose, but this has been as unenjoyable of a basketball season as there's been in Utah, maybe ever.
When fans say that, it sounds like they're blaming the team. They didn't create the system. It doesn't behoove them to win basketball games. The Jazz didn't create the NBA system where it's actually an advantage to lose. What's the criticism? Because the criticism at halfway point is, you know, it's in your best interest to suck, right? What are you doing? And then they suck. And now people are going like, well, how dare you suck this bad? What are you talking about? Is it in their best interest to suck or not?
It is.
And that's not their fault. That's the NBA's fault.
That is the NBA's fault.
If you don't like it, then stop watching the NBA. I don't buy into that I feel bad for Jazz fans. This is the sport. This is what comes along with it.
Here, Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah,
we've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 The Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Well, the NCAA tournament is now in the rearview mirror. We're done. Bums me out a little bit, but here we are. What you may have missed, brought to you by UCCU. Love where you bank. Utah Community Credit Union. Learn and earn with the app, paying your family to learn about money. UCCU. Again, we didn't get a lot of time, and sadly, we don't have a lot of time here to break it down. David Locke's going to join us coming up here in seven or eight minutes from now. I think we should probably circle back on this at about 2:05. But Scottsdale Mayor David Ortega, in a news release, expressed his extreme opposition to the Arizona Coyotes' potential new arena. It's going to go to a state auction, land auction, coming up, I believe, end of June. And essentially his comments, and this came out right at the end of the show yesterday, said that the plans, the renderings that the Arizona Coyotes put out with this beautiful facility. I mean, when you send out renderings, it looks great. And all of it said was, and you know, they're pumping this up. This is where we're going to be. This is going to be great. Ortega says that the plans were presented without mention of market demand for a new entertainment venue disguised as a hockey arena or congested highway access or questionable area zoning entitlement. The prospect of a rookie developer attempting to buy Arizona State Trust land with absolutely no infrastructure on the Phoenix side of the 101 Scottsdale Road intersection on the doorstep of Scottsdale is not feasible or welcome. Mm.
So with that announcement, with Ryan Smith sending out a tweet saying, hey, what should we name it? With the information that we've gotten from two different insiders that came on our show and said, hey, I think this is going to happen. Scotty, when should we expect an announcement?
It wouldn't surprise me if something came down the pipeline real soon.
Like real soon.
Again, speculation on my part, speculation on all of our parts, but it does seem like things are lining up nicely.
And it's tea leaves.
Yeah, to coincide with the end of the NHL season, which, frankly, end of next week.
Yeah.
So, who knows?
Yeah, because the Coyotes aren't going to be in the postseason.
Nope.
Again. And I was listening to this Arizona radio personality that was on with Jake and Ben, and he was talking about the lack of success in Coyotes history there in Arizona. And it's been brutal for them. They've got one run to the Western Conference Finals. Outside of that, they just don't have any playoff runs. And he said, in the NHL, it's all postseason. It's a 30% jump in interest. There's a gigantic jump when you hit postseason. You got to have postseason success in the NHL to hold a market's attention. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah. We'll touch more on that coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. But joining us in studio, Jake, Nate, Advance Windows. Jake, how are you? Thanks for joining the party.
It's good to be back.
Did you just get here?
I just walked in. Thanks
There'll
for inviting.
There'll be a FedEx waiting for him at his office. They'll be fine there.
Yeah.
Hey, what's the craziest job? What's the craziest job you guys have gone on? Like where you go to the house or to a business and you're like, we're going to need a bigger bus. You know, we're going to need a bigger shipment or we're going to need this. Have you had some crazy jobs?
We did a cabin job. Where they got the logs for the cabin from Yellowstone, like from the actual Yellowstone.
Yeah.
And the home was beautiful, immaculate, but the windows were, you'd be shocked, you know, it was a lower end window. They were starting to deteriorate and warp and the glass was failing. And so, and the home was beautiful. I mean, they had all kind of artwork and things inside but again, it was just massive. So we needed a lot of scaffolding and, you know, keeping the guy safe. But that was one where, we were up for the challenge and we got all hands on deck and we made it happen. And
it was all a wood cabin?
Yeah.
Like a log cabin.
Cabin, just like windows, just extremely tall windows, just really high, like high ceilings, wood cabin. And we had several crews that were there. It was one of those.
Yeah.
But it was one of those like great, like before and after. Nate mentioned this. You talk about the windows. You got this amazing cabin. And there were old, just like shoddy windows that were put in there. And it was amazing when it was built, but the quality of the window that was put in there was just a low quality window. And you think about being that homeowner, they probably didn't know what was being put in. It was a contractor, someone putting these windows in, and that contractor, the builder, is looking at ways to save money so they could put more into the kitchen. So they put in a low quality window because they don't need to worry about it in 5-10 years.
Yeah.
And like we see that every day, where it's these vinyl windows that are in a beautiful home, but like the vinyl's warping, or there's seal failure, there's moisture between the glass.
It's just like a lot. Because people can walk in and be like, oh, these are nice cabinets, but most people don't walk in and diagnose a window as that's going to be an issue.
Most people, a window is a window, and like that's why we are here, and that's why like call today, and you're going to have one of our specialists. His name is Jeremy. He's going to be on the other line. And like he has installed windows. He's been involved with windows for over 30 years, from installation to sales. He knows everything about windows. But he can educate you and help you understand like what windows you have. Because most homeowners, a window is a window. And it's like, hey, maybe there is a way to actually improve not only the aesthetic of your home, but also the energy efficiency of your home.
Save money on that heating and cooling bill. Improve the overall look of your home, improve the overall value of your home, and have that lifetime warranty as well. Come on, folks. And today only, you're going to get $3,000 off when you swap out 10 windows or more. That was Nate. I didn't do that.
Hey, so before you got here. That's what happens when you're late, I guess.
Yeah. Right? $3,000 off when you swap out 10 windows or more, but you got to call. Is it Jeremy you said?
Yep, Jeremy.
801-850-9100. Jeremy's going to answer. You can call all day and just get on the books. Set up an appointment. You're going to get the bid. You're going to get the financing options all available on the spot. 801-850-9100. It's Advanced Windows and advancedwindows.com.